sorry, boys, but all the money in the world couldn't bring me back again. Lay down, lay down. Gonna stretch my mic out in Pont's funeral home on Marcy. Always knew I'd make a stop there, but a lot later than a whole gang of people thought. The last of the real hustlers. Well, maybe not the last. Bleak's gonna be a good rapper. New, improved Jay-Z. I quit. I'm retiring. Ain't enough money in this game to keep me around. Sorry, Big. I tried. Honest. Can't go with me on this ride, though. I'm calling the shots. Bar's closing. Where we going to for breakfast? Rockefeller, y'all. Okay, I'll reload it.
My mind's so advanced at nine, I use the geese hoes for Easter clothes. Peep the steez, I represent for all those with 28 grams. Wanna come up trying to creep the keys. Large niggas told me park the car, keep the keys. Find a hood rat and creep the Mickey D's. First gun, two bullets. Niggas know I do pull it. Niggas trying to kill me, dog. Who wouldn't? Screw Gooden. I pitch in the PJs, lit off the EJ. I split judges with my ring finger. You find a bitch that know me, cream bringer. Last scene with Bing, he got drawn between us. Shit is constant. That's why I pack the Johnson Johnson for the nonsense who wants it. I go to sleep with a picture of a Porsche on my wall. Man, I'm trying to come up on y'all. Get one up on y'all. That's why I hustle in these streets from sundown to sun up on y'all. Mama said, keep bullshitting, they'll kill you dead. 1 week of this hustling brought a living room set. Went to Tom D's, niggas mad, veins out. Cop the Jordans, 2 weeks before they came out. Flashy, fly little nigga. Nosy bitch from the third floor like why little nigga. Bitch please, twist the trees. Took a long pull, like bitch to breathe. That's my answer, life's like cancer. And I'm serious.
Ah,
yeah,
and we're back. That was probably the longest intro ever.
I mean, you know, it's funny because like I wanted to cut it shorter because I just wanted to do the skit in the beginning, but that verse is hot.
Yeah, he definitely came in.
That's
But I guess let everyone know what's going on. This is episode 5 of the Streetcast.
Yes,
today is December 3rd, 2011.
Yes, episode 5.1.
And I'm your host, Brooklyn.
It's your boy, Space.
And we're back in this bitch.
Yeah, we lost the episode last week.
Oh, man, and you know what? It's totally my fault. Like, okay, here we go. Moment of truth,
yes.
Like Guru would say.
Tell the people why we've been gone so long.
Last week, before Thanksgiving, we recorded a dope-ass episode.
It was good.
Like, I wish I could, like, give it to y'all. We recorded an hour long episode, and when I went to like actually clean up the audio and like, you know, post it, it was fucked up. Like I had a setting wrong when we were recording it, and it was like unlistenable.
Wrapped.
It was horrible. So we couldn't post it. So that's kind of why we've been away for a week. We actually did record a great episode. We can't post that. Like, it's horrible.
It was a good one though.
It was such great material, and I and it's funny, and maybe this is like divine intervention, because I got kind of toasty on the episode. I think I went in a little bit on that one. So, and I didn't sabotage it at all, but yeah,
yeah,
that one kind of went away. But yeah, so we're back though with the material and all that good stuff. So we're not slacking. We're just we're still on top of it. So yeah, so we're back, and it's all good, man. Feeling good. It's getting cold and all that.
It is getting chilly out, and I don't think it's going anywhere.
No, I don't think it's going anywhere either.
It's the official chill.
Yeah.
the winter time is here.
Winter time is upon us.
So,
and it's, you know, with that comes all that interesting stuff. I was telling you earlier about, I was like, yo, let's talk about Christmas parties.
Oh God.
Cause this is the time of year where you get invited to Christmas parties and like, and then you have like the ones at your job.
Yes.
Which are always interesting and funny as hell. Like,
yes.
So it's like, you know, I think it's a good time to remind everybody as a public service announcement, things not to do at Christmas parties. And I'm about to go to one later today, so
oh god,
it's kind of also gonna help me by having a
weekend Christmas party.
Yeah, right,
that sucks already.
Yeah, I'm
supposed to do the Christmas party during the work week, so it feels like, oh, I don't have to be at work right now, I'm at this Christmas party instead, so it's all good. Incentivize
yeah.
it.
Yeah, it's not for me though. My job is having a Christmas luncheon.
Oh, okay.
Which I appreciate, because like luncheon is just lunch. There's no liquor. There's no room for fucking ups.
Yeah, right. Fuckery.
Right. But I've seen some funny shit at Christmas parties. I've seen people get drunk. I've seen people bring horrible dates.
Ugh.
Horrible spouses.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what do you do in that case?
I don't bring anybody to office events.
Oh, really?
Just because...
You don't bring your girl?
Nah, why? I don't. I like the mystique of people, of separating my work life from my personal life.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's something to that.
Yeah, I do. I mean, every once in a while, like, mm-hmm. if it's the right event and it's the right circle of people,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'll introduce others to the people I work with.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, like, office parties, I don't feel is necessarily the time, because it's always, people are always watching and they're always judging you and on every little thing you do. And even with office events, it's kind of like, you know,
it's sizing you up.
Yeah, it's like, who's gonna get really drunk and
right.
you know, totally look like an ass, or who's you know, it's just always something. They're sizing you up.
Yeah,
you know,
like my job, are you cool enough to do this?
Right.
Are you cool enough to like. Take it, be on our level.
And then at the same time, it's like you kind of have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So you bring somebody else to an event, you know, if they want to leave or whatever, then, but you have to be there, then you just have like double the stress on you. Like,
well, not necessarily. I think the whole thing with the office party is also knowing when to leave, right? Like, I think,
yes,
the smartest people come, say hi to everybody, and before the liquor kicks in, they're out. You know what I mean? Like, you don't see them. I think right. that's the smartest strategy for office parties, is like, if you know, in my old job, we used to have like bigger office parties with liquor and catered and all that stuff at like a ballroom. And the smartest thing to do is to go socially drink, but before there's enough time
to get hammered,
when you or anybody else too, right? Because sometimes you'll have the person that's hammered and you're in the vicinity and you're like being talked to
right
by the inappropriate person who didn't have the courage to say something to you before,
right?
Or, you know, you kind of can get pulled into the bullshit too, so it's like,
it's true,
it's good to like say hi to the key people that you know can step your career up, and then bounce, and then, you know, leave and say, you know, you were there, you showed up, you know, they saw you looking nice and all that stuff.
But what if you're really having a good time, you're doing karaoke, drinking, you out there, you know, it's all good, you're having a great time?
I really?
What if?
I don't know. I mean, that would be awesome. I'm just not that extroverted.
Right.
I'm not that extroverted at all, dude. I'm an introvert.
Well, I mean,
I'm an introvert. I'm a converting introvert. Like, I know some people right now.
Controvert.
Yeah, I'm a controvert. I'm a controvert. I'm a contradictory introvert. I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, I've been an introvert trying to not be one. Trying to break out of that shit.
Good luck.
Yeah, man. There's no success being locked up, man.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, do you have any other recommendations for office parties?
Yeah, okay. Don't drink too much.
Right.
Right? Don't drink too much.
Right.
Dress conservative.
Depending on your job.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but still, don't
wear short
don't
shorts.
Don't take crazy like, risks.
Ladies, don't wear the tight skirts.
Don't take crazy. It's not the place to take crazy risks.
Right.
You know, be safe. Be nice. Dress nice, but be sharp. That's not the time to break out your shark skin suit.
What about my ugly holiday sweater? Can I rock that?
You could. I wouldn't. Dress nice. You know, don't dress flashy.
Right.
You don't want to be the spectacle.
Right.
You want to be there.
That's for the executives.
Not even for the executives. That's for the people who are going to fuck up.
Right.
You don't want to be talked about. You really don't.
That's true.
Nah. So you think at the Christmas party is the place that they're going to like say, ooh, he looked really nice at the Christmas party, so now I'm going to give him a promotion? No.
Nice watch.
It might be a conversation you have at the Christmas party that like breaks the ice so that you could talk to them at work maybe next week.
Right.
And that's really the best that you could expect is, okay, you had an opportunity to like speak to someone over a drink at the Christmas party, and then when you see them at work, now you have a reason to follow up with them.
So I guess
to continue that conversation.
In addition, you're saying it's also like don't click up. Like, you know how people tend to get clicky with like the immediate people they work with?
Don't maybe do
that's
that
your,
either.
That's your chance to like mix and mingle, talk to other people
right
in your business that you may not have a chance to talk to regularly.
Yes, and I think that's important in general. Like, I think even at work, make sure that you are not pigeonholing yourself by who you associate with.
Like, right.
You don't always want to be. You don't want to be associated with, you know, people on a certain level because they're going to be like, it kind of stymies you too. So it's right. you might sit with them, but then make sure that you like go out and engage with other people.
Right.
And then sit at a different table for a little while, you know, and talk to somebody else or like you, but you don't want to
work
like,
the room.
Yeah. Work the room. If you're going to go work the room, don't just sit at a table with the same people that people see you with all the time anyway.
Right.
That's just, you might as well not have went. Like, don't go if you're going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, have conversations, get to know people. Break the ice.
Right.
So you have a reason to follow up with them after the fact. Say, oh, hey, how was that? How was your kids? Or how was golfing? You know?
Right.
How was whatever?
The holidays are great.
Yeah.
Christmas parties and shit. Black Friday recently passed and Cyber Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Any luck? Any luck out there fishing for sales?
I didn't go out Black Friday. I was out of town and I didn't go out.
You missed it.
Yeah, I did. Cyber Monday, I caught an Amazon deal for Blu-ray. That was it. I haven't been a big consumer.
I made my way over to Walmart.
Wally World.
I went to Wally World. I went to the Hood Walmart too. Like,
you got
Hood Walmart.
You got your Louisiana purchase card.
I wish I had a Louisiana purchase card. Hood Walmart.
You went to the Hood Walmart?
Hood Walmart.
Why? Why Hood Walmart?
Because a friend of mine...
You figured Negroes wouldn't be up early?
Nah. I had no...
Damn. I know some people are like, did he just...
He didn't just say that. Did he just say Negro?
He just said colored.
He just said Negro.
You didn't think colored people would be up early? Is that what
happened?
Nah,
man.
Oh, man.
That's not what happened. This is how the event unfolded.
What was your rationale then?
I was only going to go to Target and Best Buy that was local. So I was like, all right, I can do that real quick. I'll get there early, get in, get out, like I did last year. But I have a friend who recently purchased a home, and he wanted to go to Walmart because of some sale they had on
what?
I think it was like...
Come on, man. You got to say what it was.
It was like FIFA. Like, it was like a video game sale.
FIFA? It was like, what, $5?
It was like 20 or something.
Okay.
Like 29. I think it was $29.
Okay.
And Batman Arkham City.
Okay,
was
I haven't
like
played
$29.
That yet. I have that it's on Steam, game. But I haven't played it yet.
So he wanted to go to Walmart. So I was like, all right, I'll meet you out the Walmart. I didn't even know where it was. I had to map quest it. But I got out there, and it was like Hood Walmart. And I was like, damn, this is Hood Walmart.
Was there a lot of people out?
Yo, it was packed with people. It was packed. And this is the worst part about the Walmart. Not the fact that it was packed with people, but the fact that the employees at that Walmart didn't label the sales. They didn't have anything labeled like sale, 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 or what the actual prices were. If you didn't know coming into the building, they didn't spend time trying to help you out and figure out what was on sale.
You think that's a Walmart tactic, though?
I think that was Hood Walmart's tactic. They were just lazy. And in addition to that, In addition to that, so they had lines in Hood Walmart, but nobody was checking out. They had just people standing in line. And I was like, are you guys in line to check out? They were like, nah, we just in line. We just waiting.
But
I'm like, what are you waiting for?
In line to in the checkout line.
In the checkout line. There was no defined checkout line. So there were people that were trying to get certain deals that they couldn't find.
So did y'all get the deals? Did y'all get the deals?
I got Friday on Blu-ray for $5.
That's good.
Hood Walmart had Friday.
But dude, I got that for $9 on Running the Rake.
$5.
Okay. My bad. You looked at me with that fire in that look again. You gave me that look. You gave me that like.
And I got Book of Eli for $5 on Blu-ray.
You're piercing through me with your eyes.
I'm saying it's a deal. I just went there because my friend wanted to go there.
True, and that's a good deal.
Yeah,
Friday.
I mean, they had some games that just like I wanted, but I was just like most of the games I really wanted they didn't have. Batman they sold out of.
Oh right.
They just didn't have much. Target, the line in Target was ridiculous.
Right.
So I just gave up there. And Best Buy, the line was double ridiculous.
Because they got the TVs and shit.
Right. And right. I only wanted small items like games.
At Best Buy, one of my cousin's husband wanted to go to Best Buy. And he said that they had like a 46-inch TV for like
$200. That's what people were in line. Yeah. People were camping outside of Best Buy.
And that's kind of what I figured. And I was like, I'm not going to go out there. I was like, yo, you can go, but... I have two 46-inch TVs. Uh-huh. And B, I'm like, even though I would do it just to put it on eBay and make a good 400 right quick.
Right.
I'm like, you know what, dude?
You got that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, online, I did.
So they're only going to have like 10 of them.
I mean, whatever. Online, I actually did purchase Apple TV. I got it at Best Buy for like, say like $10.
Oh, I was about to say it. That shit wasn't on sale.
You said what?
That shit wasn't on sale.
No, it was on sale. It was $89.99, so only $99.99. Mm. So I bought that. And I got to say, that's I'm awesome. Really enjoying my Apple TV.
It's awesome to have a media streaming device in your bedroom.
Yes.
For like that night where you cuddled up and you want to watch a movie.
I mean.
And you want to select that movie. Or Pandora. Pandora.
Apple TV doesn't have Pandora on it.
Oh.
It doesn't.
Samsung Blu-ray players have Pandora.
That's cool. Apple TV is still cool. Apple TV is cool in and of itself because, like, first of all, it up-reses YouTube for some reason. Like, YouTube videos look really, really crispy on your flat screen when you use it through Apple TV.
Right.
Vimeo is just cool as hell. It's just great to see a lot of that web content mm-hmm. in full size and for it to look really good. Netflix works perfectly, and they have this thing called AirPlay where you can send media from like your computer or your iPhone or your iPad, and I have all those devices, straight to your Apple TV, so I can like stream certain like podcasts or whatever.
It's awesome. I think, you know what, like I'm glad that you're talking about that, you brought this up, because I love that. Like I love just being able to stream media that's like non-traditional cable TV, like that's non-traditional TV stuff, like Revision 3, their shows, I stream that. I have Hulu on my TV,
right?
I use Play On, and Play On is kind of like a service that you download on your computer and you stream it through your computer, through your router, wherever, to whatever device. And but basically I think they charge like $20 a year, and basically you can get like Hulu, all of these channels. You know, like if you miss like Charlie Rose or Saturday Night Live or anything on Hulu without being a Plus member, you can get that stuff.
Right.
It's really cool. And I don't even need like to subscribe to cable, and I'm able to have enough to watch. It's not, I don't have stuff that I'm missing out definitely.
Right.
But I have enough to watch while I wait for Netflix to get those shows on Blu-ray and DVD and all that stuff. But like streaming is dope. Like,
yeah.
I think everybody should definitely be in, you know, hooking their homes up, have their own router, and, you know, having the connected devices and all that stuff. Like, it's kind of like your home is not right without that nowadays.
Like, even for
you're missing out, definitely.
Like, looking at YouTube and looking at Vimeo on my, on my 40-inch television, it just really showed me that, like, there's really, really good content out there that people are making on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there's so much of it, you never know what you'll stumble upon. Like, I stumbled upon some documentaries on Vimeo. I was just, like, impressed. Yeah. Like, wow.
Oh, shit.
Like,
yeah.
these are some really great documentaries. Mm-hmm. And just seeing them in full size, you know, off of your computer screen, like really seeing what the person's vision was for the documentary, like those have been great. Like watching those music videos on YouTube that you hadn't seen in a while and seeing them kind of like how they were when you first saw them on television. Right. Like, that's been cool.
Being able to set a playlist. You could also set a YouTube playlist on it. And then log into your channel. Right. And then just watch your own playlist. Right. That's even, awesome too.
And even like watching like web series people are making on YouTube. Like some of them are really good. And like it's almost like having like public access TV. Right. But it's like global public access.
Right.
So like I'm doing more discovery on YouTube. Even watching like response videos that people make to other videos.
Right.
And it's just like, wow, like YouTube, I think in a few years, like YouTube is going to be like a truly viable source for entertainment.
I mean, it already is.
On TV, though.
Oh, like, yeah. You mean like when the living room is connected to that point.
Yes.
I think that I guess they, you know, they
for
call
the
that
masses.
Well, they call that critical mass, right?
Yeah.
Like whenever anything reaches that tipping point to where most people have it, you know, like DVD reached critical mass over VHS. And then now Blu-ray is about to reach critical mass where when you're in a store, you see more Blu-rays than you do DVDs.
Right.
Like when that's like overcome it or whatever, that's kind of another way to say it. But that is already happening because like all of the new basically they don't make tube TVs anymore, right?
Right.
You can't buy a tube TV. And then now all of the flat screen TVs come with these apps built in.
Yeah.
So like even the cheaper brands, you can have, you know, Netflix apps
Pandora
built in and
whatever.
Pandora and Twitter and Facebook. And it's just like the shit is basically on the verge. All of them have, you know, Ethernet jacks.
Yeah.
And then you could also plug in a USB dongle to get Wi-Fi.
Pause.
Dongle? Okay. You know, you could a USB stick.
Pause.
But yeah, you could plug in a USB stick and get Wi-Fi on it. I would say to anybody, yo, I personally like the Samsung Blu-ray players because they have all the apps.
Right.
And it's free.
Right. I think also like the technology
if your TV doesn't have
like
apps.
The technology coming out now is really like democratizing media as a whole to the point where like we're on this podcast right now and if you're listening to it like we're replacing radio for you right now.
Right.
Or like people on YouTube are replacing cable for you or Twitter is replacing your newspaper.
Right.
And it's like we're reaching a point where and it's in real time and like you can listen to this podcast whenever you want to and you can go on YouTube
at
and
the gym or at work while you're doing something, you know, tedious.
Yeah, so
you're listening to this shit.
It's like I feel like as the technology improves and reaches that critical mass, you know, having these what they call like microcasting, like we're not broadcasting, we're targeting specific people. Like I feel like this type of media is gonna get more and more important.
Oh yeah, it is.
And people
definitely
are gonna get more and more into it. And I also feel like the big boys are gonna start hurting.
Oh yeah. But you know, the one thing that they have, I think not so much for podcasts, but more so for like video, they have production quality. You know,
that's the upside.
That's the differentiator right now is that the NBCs have that production quality.
Right.
That the smaller people don't have.
Right. And I mean,
you know what I mean?
At the same
other
time,
than that, it's
like
it's open.
Okay, so the camera's out, like the Canon 5D, 7D, that mm-hmm. gives you this HD quality film.
Right.
So, I mean, you can shoot something. You may not have the ability to, like, build the sets that are necessary.
Exactly, and the writers, too, right?
But I mean, I would argue that if someone has a good enough story to tell, you don't need a big budget. Like, a good story is a good story.
Yeah, but a good writer is
a team
invaluable.
Of writers is...
It's what I'm saying. That's the difference, though.
Yeah.
A team of smart people
right.
that know their shit.
I mean, yeah.
That makes or breaks a production.
Right, and I can agree with that. But at the same time, I feel like you, if you're a good enough writer, you can get your point across using the media you have to create a product
true.
That people can enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that can even give you the exposure to one day have that production budget where you can take it to that next level. But I feel like there's really good stuff out there that you can find on YouTube and find podcasts of and on Twitter that's just like really good.
Really clever people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just really enjoying where we're at right now with technology because like I'm talking right now and you're hearing me and you know, like, I can go and listen to other people nerd out about stuff and just talk about stuff that I'm interested in, you know, very specifically.
I think that, but I do, I agree. That's really, it's really exciting, just the new wave of connectivity and the way that now in our living rooms, there's, we have options and, you know, it's kind of like the, well, okay. So I was reading this article and it's called The Internet of Things, right? Like, the next wave of technology is kind of, now we have the internet, but the internet of things, right? Like our TV having internet connections, refrigerators having internet connections, like all of these other devices that are traditionally not connected, having a connection to the internet and having that data. So like when our car has internet,
right,
natively, you know, and all of the way that's how is that going to affect what we can know and what we send out there and all that stuff. So that's pretty much the way things are going to go, right?
So
I mean, we're talking about our TVs being internet connected and having internet media. So then after TVs, then what is it going to be, right? It's going to be our cars.
Right.
It's going to be...
And they already have Pandora in certain cars and, you know, streaming music.
That's true, yep.
And you already have GPS.
You already have GPS. Nav systems.
Right.
Very true.
So...
But when it's, like, built in, right, when it's, like, car Wi-Fi.
Critical mass.
When it's car Wi-Fi, and you don't even have to, like, you know, maybe you pay a amount a month, or I don't even know what it is, but when it's native and it's, like, you know, when you get in your car and they're, like, you have 5 friend requests. And you put, when you start up your car and it's, like, you know, such and such replied to you on Twitter, or, you know...
I mean,
your Netflix queue is empty.
That could be interesting because then maybe it's like, maybe they come up with like some kind of like gridlock social media where it's like you're stuck in traffic with people and you can find out about stuff about them. Like,
or
this person is in this business. This person does this.
Right.
You want to play this game with this person you're stuck in traffic with? Like,
right.
Who knows what will happen when, you know, it moves on to things like that.
Right.
It's crazy.
Or you could play Words with Friends in your car. You know what I mean? Like such and such.
When are you driving? It's kind of like phones. Like you use your phone for everything, but when are you actually talking on your phone? Like you're usually texting or doing an app or doing something else. Like the talking part is getting less important. Hopefully cars will drive themselves then. We got all this other bullshit going on.
Right.
People can be distracted. That's
true. I mean, at the very least though, it'll be something like you know, they had the iCloud, whatever.
Right.
So it's like your music library in the cloud.
Yeah.
So you start up your car and it's like, you know, your
library music from your crib.
Library is there.
Oh, that's
I'm
what I want.
So ready for that.
That sounds amazing.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
I want that now.
All my music
home. From the cloud.
Yeah.
Selectable in my car.
Yes.
But that's the internet of things. That's what, you know.
That's real connectivity. Yeah. When you never lose, you never break that connection with what's going on.
Yeah. There's a site that I check frequently called GigaOhm.com. GigaOhm.com. It's a Silicon Valley based site. Definitely if this conversation is interesting to you, bookmark that site. They're so smart and they also, you know, have pro research. So if you are in the media business or have any interest in keeping up with stuff like this, you can buy research and use that in your presentations and get more money and look like a superstar at work. Because they talk about mobile and IPOs and who's doing what and all that stuff. So GigaOhm.com is very cool to keep up with that.
Also, like just on the topic of like the web and people being able to make what they want to make, like it's, I've also found that it's tougher for people to disappear in this modern world. And I mean that in regards to just artists.
Getting lost and shit.
Artists. Remember back in the day when like, a rapper wouldn't drop any more albums and he would just leave and he would just be like, done.
And they'd be like, what happened
to... What happened to such and such? And you would never
know. Nas had a song called Where Are They Now?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So nowadays, it's like rappers tend to linger around a little longer, I've noticed.
Yeah, that's true.
And I found a few examples on this thing called the internet.
This thing called the internet.
And I want to share some of the examples. And this conversation is going to evolve into something funny. But so Cam'ron,
Killa.
Everybody knows Killa Cam.
Killa.
Enough respect for Killa Cam. You know, I mean, I love his music.
125th.
You know, I've been a fan of Cam for a long time.
Yo, honestly, I like Cam when Cam was chubby.
early
Chubby Cam.
SDE Cam.
Dude, Chubby Cam was on it.
Before he started kicking all that Ghouli Mooli Ruli Tooli rap.
He can rap. He can rhyme, rap, whatever. Yeah. I kind of like put those words together just now. But yeah, like, yo, he was, yeah.
Early Cam was super early lyrical. Early
Cam was like.
And I think that later Cam is equally lyrical, but I feel like it gets lost in his rhyme scheme. Because he starts doing all of that Fruly Tooly Dooly. Mooly cooly dooly mooly wooly. And it's like, what are you talking about, Cam? But anyway, so Cameron has a new video out on Worldstar, and I just want you guys to check out, I mean, just a little snippet of it. But it's just like, why, like, what's his purpose? Like, why is he, I mean, he's a rapper, I guess he wants to keep making music, but is there an audience for it? That's my question.
All right, so run that.
So let me play a little snidget of it.
Swear to God, fo-fo, we tote those. Yes. Cocaine, blow, dro, move by the boat blows. 5-0, po-po, disguised as hobos. Skydivers, nose divers, we on no dose. No, I was on 40th, young but so cold. With 39th, had Atlantic Sav in a chokehold. Up inside the same park, ducking the lame marks. Later that night, shot the field when the same marks. Flame hearts, this cold, you'll die when the flame sparks. Be in Harlem Hospital, looking at name charts. Forget all your fame, man, that's when the game starts. These niggas proud that they ain't smart. It's loud when that thing cut out. Cocaine out of Bangkok. We slang out the same spot. Where kids get they brain pop. I tell you, it can't stop. Be careful, walk around these mean parts. Niggas ride on kids like a theme park. No home meals. All my homies, they be riding around.
This is the hook.
We keep in the same gang.
That's enough. That's enough.
Yeah.
So my, I guess I wanted to bring it up because I'm looking at the video. You know, Cameron, he's still in the projects. Like he's doing his rap. He's doing his coke rap, and you know he's still doing his thing, whatever. But it's like, as a mature MC, like
keyword mature.
Yeah, I guess it's just like he's an older MC, and I wish I could see something different from him. Like,
what's the name of the song?
Bang Bang.
Look no further. I mean, yeah.
And I love Cam, and I love what he does. I love the music he's had. I just feel like I don't know, like
he's a talented individual with charisma and style. He has his own thing. But my thing about it is this. I just think it's sad, honestly, because it's like, you know what it is? It's kind of like when you get a little older and you may have went away to college or whatever, and you come back to your old hood and you see the same people doing the same shit.
Right.
It's the same feeling I have when I see like videos like that. It's like, I remember when I was into that because I was younger and because I was closer to that element.
Right.
Like, you know, growing up in Brooklyn, when you actually saw a drug deal happen.
Right.
Or you saw a crackhead walking down the street, or you saw, you literally saw that. So when you heard it in music, you were like, yo, I can relate. I seen that shit down the street. You know what I mean? And then, but now I'm like, I don't live in the hood. And right. I don't, and you would think, hopefully years later, you're not. You found a way to get away from that.
You evolved into something
else. Like now my whole priorities are different and I'm not really necessarily, I know what that is and I don't care for it anymore.
I mean, I guess for you know what I mean? These, like, no, I totally get what you're saying. I feel like maybe for a lot of these rappers, it's important to stay street, but at the same time, it's kind of like, what has all of this time taught you? Like,
right. But who, okay. What person that's from the streets wants to be in the streets?
Nobody.
Yeah. So
that's the reality.
So who
of
is
it.
He talking to? That, he's not talking to people from the streets. He's talking to people from the suburbs.
Right.
Because people who are from the hood know that's not what's up.
Right.
And they're so ready to be so far away from what that
and
represents.
I think that's kind of like my mentality about it. It's like, dude, obviously you've had an opportunity to get out of that situation. But then it's like, I look at your video and it's right back there.
And it's the same place you've always been.
Right.
It's kind of like when you know people who are maybe, okay, people who have a lot of money in the hood, and you're like, yo, if you did sell drugs in the hood, why didn't you just get the fuck out of there?
Right.
Take your money and move. And
bounce.
Why are you still there?
But I mean, obviously,
it defeats the purpose. It's like self-defeating as well.
Cam is he's creating a he's doing it for the suburbs. Like he's you know,
it has to be.
Yeah,
it's definitely for like somebody who's not familiar,
right? That doesn't really know what's up.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But that's not. I think that's disingenuous.
Right.
Right.
It is, and I mean, he got a new clothing line in it. It's called Creep Life. It's a clothing line. Everybody's wearing these shirts.
I don't know. I'm just bored with anything that's like the same. Like to me, like I was into that type of music, and you know, I wore my New York hats and whatever, and Tim's, and that was cool for a while. But then I got bored with that style.
Right.
And it was like, you know what? This was cool. It was cool when I did it. Years ago, but now I'm like, you know what? I want to do something different now with my life.
I'm thinking about it on like a grand scheme, like beyond just yourself, beyond just me. Like,
true.
Are there people out there that want to hear what Cam'ron's saying right now? Like, are the people in the hood, do they want to hear Cam'ron, or have they moved on to the new young MC? And it's like, who's he making this music for? I mean, we say the suburbs, but
that's
is the
too.
Suburbs even really listening to Cam'ron?
No.
Who's he making it for?
I think that's why Cam'ron is on YouTube and he's not on MTV.
You're right. You're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm just like looking at it.
Because
like,
he would be top 40. He would be top 20. He would be Billboard.
If the Burbs were into it.
If the Burbs were into it, he'd be on Billboard.
Is the hood into it?
I don't think so. I think the hood.
I don't think so either.
I think the hood is exhausted with that.
Word.
Yeah.
Nah, I can agree with that point. Yeah. I mean, this whole conversation came from, like, last week we were kind of talking about, and I'm going to play something that we played last week that didn't happen because the podcast got fucked up. But,
my bad.
Yeah, so, there have been several older MCs, seasoned MCs in the game, who have made the decision to sign with younger labels. And, you know, there was an example that it happened, like, last week or the week before, and we're going to play a real quick clip from a little video they put out, but Busta Rhymes.
Okay.
Busta Rhymes signed to Young Money Cash Money Records.
God.
I don't know what I think about it yet, but here's a quick snippet from their little coming out party. Pause.
What? Why'd you pause?
Coming out.
Oh, God. Another day. Another dollar. We off. Yeah, turn it up. Really just come from the fight.
Yeah, you understand me? I had to fly back on the fly. That's back. Baby. On the fuck with
Busta. Really want to let y'all know that you're the newest of the team. Yeah, and I really appreciate you fucking with it like that.
I appreciate you welcoming me in, bro. Definitely.
Looking for big things. He got his first single coming out this week.
Why Stop Now featuring Chris Brown? Shit is amazing.
So, largest empire in the world. So
believe that.
Fuck with us.
We don't believe that. I mean, I
thought that was Microsoft.
This whole experience that's
Google.
Made that happen is going to probably be Apple. One of the most defining moments in hip hop and probably just entertainment overall.
Whoa.
Wait.
You know what I'm saying?
Whoa.
Rewind that back.
Whoa.
Run that back.
That shit crack.
Whoa. Did you just hear what Busta Rhymes just said?
Wait, run that back. I missed it.
Yeah, let me try to backtrack that real quick. Yeah, let's see.
Wait.
Believe that. I mean, this whole experience that's getting ready to happen is going to probably be one of the most defining moments in hip-hop and probably just entertainment overall. You know what I'm saying? I think that this alliance with the conglomerate and YMCMB and me and Bird and Wayne is, you know, the whole family is something that's, it's been a long time coming because we just always had a respect level and a genuine and an organic friendship for a very long time. I mean, it goes back to the days of me and Bird used to spend $1 million a year on cars alone just to compete at the Funk Flex car shows and talk shit to each other and joke and just live it up and have fun. So
friends,
you know, we talking about,
that's what being a friend is all about.
10, 12 years
spending
ago,
millions of dollars
on cars, you know,
rocking rockin with each other before all of that, just through the
that's
music.
What friends,
you know what I'm saying?
Are
and as the time has come to pass,
how many of
grown,
us have them,
you know what I'm saying? And always delivered for each other when it came to the
anyways
music. So for me, man, this is a golden moment.
It's a golden moment
personally, and I think it's also a golden moment for hip hop because
hold on, let's hear
you
it
know
why.
Just our experience, man, and just the genuine love, man. I think only greatness can come out of that. In fact, we're going to supersede a lot of levels of expectation. And I think what makes it even more beautiful is people ain't really get the slightest inclination of seeing this come.
Oh, my God.
Wait. So, what? Was that not the biggest load of malarkey? The biggest load of bullshit you've ever heard?
I gotta give Busta Rhymes his props for the fact that he's still spitting some of the hottest verses.
Yes, he is.
That he's on the radio.
He's skilled.
Yes.
He, like, there's no doubt that he can, like, flow slash rhyme slash push it together that makes sense. Like,
yes,
there's no ambiguity there.
Yes. Dude is nice.
He's nice. No, there's no, yeah, there's no point, periods, commas, question marks there.
But then my question is just like, what is Young Money going to do with them? They just going to throw them on everybody else's songs?
No, it's going to be the same shit that happened with Aftermath. He's going to be overshadowed by whoever, because Young Money is going to promote the newest, youngest, hottest shit.
Right, Wayne, Drake, Nicki.
And no, not even them, but whoever, Wayne, of course, but then whoever's the youngest, newest.
Right, the new craze.
The new hot person is going to be who they're going to put out.
Right.
And but, that's really what it's going to be.
But then they could put Busta Rhymes on the tracks.
So he's going to be like the scenario rapper.
Yeah, he's going to come in and spit the...
He's going to be like the...
Yeah.
But that's going to fuck his ego up, and he's going to be mad, and he's going to quit.
The automatic weapon rap.
And then we're going to have him on YouTube talking about, yeah, we had creative differences, and, you know, YMCMB, and we, you know, spent $1 million on cars together, and we gonna still do that. But we gonna do that from, I'm gonna do that from my own label.
Yeah. He tried to have his own label. He had that Flip Mode Squad.
Flip Mode Squad? What happened to Flip Mode Squad?
Rod Digger and the rest of them just couldn't blow. Pause. They didn't blow.
No, nobody else blew.
Just him. And his hype man Spliff. So he tried his own. He went that path. It didn't work.
But and you know
now
what?
He just wants
a
check. A
lot of people have tried that. I mean, you have Big Boy with his purple label shit that
flopped
miserably.
Flopped.
Right.
And it had a lot of buzz too.
It did, because he was at that time was a like quadruple platinum artist.
Right.
Probably more than that. Like that album sold the last album.
It was
album
right after Stan Coney, right after the
Love
Below.
And, that album probably went a good.
It's probably Diamond.
It probably is Diamond.
You know? So, I mean, he's not hungry. I just think it's also a matter of like a lot of these artists aren't businessmen.
Damn. Diamond.
Diamond. When's the last time you heard an album called Diamond?
The Love Below. The Love Below.
But a lot of these artists aren't. They're not businessmen. You know?
Right.
So, like, maybe they need. You know,
Busta needs to grow his dreads back.
He needs the power.
Busta
back
is the epitome of Samson. Busta is Samson, dude.
He's still spitting hot verses though.
Yeah, but ever since he cut his dreads, he lost his competitive edge.
He lost his image.
He lost his rah rah.
Yeah.
He lost that rah.
Yeah.
He lost it. It's gone. Right now he's like.
Meow.
He tried to be. You know, I have a Caesar. I'm cool and shit.
I'm cool and sexy.
I'm cool with my big ass diamond earrings. And
right.
Everybody's like, but there's a million people like that.
Well, there's another signing.
Everybody can't be Rico Suave.
There's another.
Everybody can't be GQ either.
Old head, young head signing.
You gotta be leave the pretty to the pretty boys.
Check this out.
And then for that little news that I heard through the grapevine, we were announcing that, or we saving that for a little longer?
No, we announcing all that, man. We doing all that, man. We gotta let them know the business, man. We gotta let them know what's up, man.
So announcing the people live on Hood Rich Radio, Juicy J's new business endeavor and situation.
DJ Screen,
yes sir. Juicy J's now with Taylor Gang. You know what I'm saying? We going in this year, man. 2012, we going in.
Juicy J. from 3-6 Mafia just signed with the Taylor Gang.
What the fuck is Taylor Gang?
That's Wiz Khalifa.
Oh, God.
I know how much you love Wiz.
Doesn't he fuck with Kanye's old jump off?
Yeah, Amber Rose. I mean, I can't be totally mad. I can't totally hate. The ball-headed beast is kind of hot.
She's not hot no more, though.
Who are you comparing? What are you comparing her hotness to? Like, she's not hot compared to...
I'm saying that...
Or is she just not hot because she's old news?
I'm saying she's not hot because she was stunting everywhere with one person. It's not fresh.
It does kind of seem like Wiz is getting leftovers.
Yeah. Right?
Isn't like it Yeezy's though? Leftovers.
I mean, and honestly, that's the truth. It is pretty much...
That is factual. But it shows the hierarchy in hip-hop overall. Like,
yeah.
Wiz, you're down here. Kanye, you're up here. Right. You're watching the throne. Right. And Wiz Khalifa is down there cleaning the bowl. You know?
He's the catfish of the game.
Yeezy's a shark.
He's catfish. And Wiz
Khalifa is catfish.
He's scrimp.
Wiz Khalifa is the plankton of hip hop right now. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, if you want to take it to Amber, I mean,
in content as maybe well, he right? Loves her.
I mean, yo, this is one Wiz Khalifa song.
I love her.
This is one Wiz Khalifa song that I love. I
love her.
I love that girl.
I love her.
I can't totally hate on Wiz Khalifa because, like I said, there's one track that I play the track almost every day. I have a favorite Wiz Khalifa song. It's called Mesmerized.
Play it.
It's dope.
Play it.
I'm going to play it. Yeah. Let me cue that up real quick. Keep making the sound effects.
I love her.
Hold on. I'm going to pull this joint up because I think this track is hot. And this is the only Wiz song that I can literally like. I'm going to bump that again.
I don't care Kanye was doing doper shit with her. And I know she misses that shit.
Flyer shit.
Flyer shit. I know she missed the real dudes. It's okay.
Oh, well, all right, let me cue up this Wiz track. Hopefully you don't have any advertisements in front of it on YouTube, but y'all gonna hear it. Let's hope not.
Oh man.
There's no ads. Oh, it's an ad.
It's an ad. YouTube and the ads.
YouTube and the ad.
What I like about YouTube though? At least have the decency to not show ads when you embed media.
This is true. Oh, here we go. Here we go.
That was a 15-second joint.
It's called Mesmerize.
Sean Khalifa, man. Paper playing gang. I'm a one young. Hey, shout out to my brother Spitter, man.
Currency.
I just wanted to say that.
Whatever, they ain't his brother. Really? Yeah.
They cool.
Yeah. You get bitch to see this shit from across the street, nigga. It's pimpin' over here. Macaroni. Cardo on the beat. Chase them, I duck them, smoke something, go to one new state soon as I fuck them. Niggas be pressed for pussy, ain't nothing. Instead of worrying about who that bitch fucking, why don't you get you some money? 9 times out of 10, she see me stunting, game running, wanna know my hotel and who phone the ring when she coming. I keep it 100. Get love from the hoes, but it's money over bitches, nothing above it. Like the weed, loud like my engine when I speed up. Bitches holding their weed, rolling trees with their pretty feet up. Them suckers often imitate, but they can't beat us. So super high, look in the sky when you won't see me, bruh. Cut my speakers up, drowning out what the critics say. Just continue to smoke and remain G as fuck, G as fuck. Polo socks match my polo hat. She leave once, it's a known fact. And she ain't coming back. Now Taylor gang, that shit changed. Put the amount of horses in my motor when I switch lanes. And I beat them blinder with the diamonds in my big chain. Heavy in the game, lil' homie, I'm doing big things. Big things, big things. And them bitches, they mesmerize, they recognize. I keep it so G. I keep
keep it so G. Get you some money fucking with me.
Yeah, so that's just a little snippet of it. But the only thing that would make that song better is if it was Currency rapping on it instead of him. Shouts out to the homeboy Spitter. The
only thing better would make it better and be somebody else rapping on it.
Currency. But, I mean, you heard it.
Like, yeah, true.
It's dope. I mean, I think, you know, rappers have their fly tracks that cats aren't really up on. But, yeah.
Agreed.
I mean,
100%.
That track is dope. Oh, yeah. Speaking of, like, rappers deciding they want to drop hot shit, what, I mean, in my opinion,
okay,
that Lupe Fiasco mixtape.
I listened to it.
Have you heard Lasers?
Yeah. It's horrible.
Lasers is a weed plate.
It's horrible.
Lasers
what is that?
It's, Lasers is
how
the
does
worst.
That even get pressed? How?
Yo.
Did not one of his boys be like, yo,
I mean,
it's
honestly,
not your best work.
So
tough love status.
He needed it. He really did. So Lupe's new mixtape is called "Friend of the People, I Fight Evil," and pretty much it reminds me a lot of his older mixtapes. He used to drop mixtapes all the time before he did the whole food and liquor thing.
Yeah,
and
that's pretty
dope.
Much how he came out was
right.
Like
mixtape rap.
Yeah,
just going in.
Yeah,
and this is the closest thing I've heard to one of those classic like First and 15th. You know,
First
Lupe the Jedi. You know, all
when's the last time you heard
sense.
That?
I know, FNF. He doesn't even shout out FNF anymore.
What happened to that?
He's just Atlantic
Ever
Records.
Since Chili went upstate, man.
Right.
I think that was, maybe Chili was the, like his secret sauce, dude.
Might have been.
Maybe he was the dude that was like, yo, that's your week.
That
that shit crack.
You know?
I mean, I honestly like.
Because that was like his hood friend.
Right.
That was like
his connection to the street.
Yeah.
I mean, I think him signing to the label, I think the label really pushed him to create a truly commercial album. And I don't necessarily think that's what he wanted. But I think that they made him do it. And he kind of alludes to that on this mixtape a little bit. Like, he kind of throws some shots at Atlantic. Actually, Wiz is his label mate. But he throws some shots at them and kind of like, he talks a little, you know, talks some shit about them. But he has some tracks on this mixtape that I think are worth giving a listen to. One track called Double Burger with Cheese. You get a chance to listen to that?
I think so.
It's a track where
it's
he's
like track
much,
four.
Yeah, it's track four. It's like he's talking about like, I know you clearly you listen to
my game.
You are. So he's talking about like the media that raised the generation and the things that people saw on TV, heard in the radio, saw in the movies that influenced their upbringing.
Right.
His upbringing and right. What I can relate to because, you know, like, you know, around the same age or whatever.
Right.
And I think it's dope that he's going back to these more conceptual songs. And I just want to play a quick little snippet of it so that people can hear. This is a Double Burger with Cheese from the Friend of the People, I Fight Evil mixtape.
Back villain on a smooth tip, all things gravy, greatest fear to let the groove slip. Always tell the masses that it's never gonna stop, cause you never gonna do shit. Magnified gestures over long lost blues riffs. Mop up, sop up the tears for fears with a Q-tip. The proceeds to poke out their eyes with a toothpick. Remember when Lorenz Tate tans with the pool stick. A wind cane, pistol whip, Chauncey and that fool snitch. Sent to take the Bill Duke, would've went to jail if he wouldn't have got killed. In that drive-by by the duty kid, cause he was like, it ain't mine. And she was like, you the only guy that I do it with. Remember when Pac and Q start fighting over Steel House. They broke a face, still scream. Raheem told them to chill out. That Jerry Curl blood that brought Ricky eating chips. The same guy they was looking for when Ice Cube stopped and let Cube out the whip. And when it's sad how Loco had the habit. And when it funny when they caught T-Bone dancing with that rabbit. Didn't rock and have the same gun that that old man shot OG Bobby Johnson's son in the back with. Or do I got it backwards? And Bobby Johnson was the one that put his fist up to the glass. And Kane put his fist up and dapped it. Chicago and Regina had sex inside the mail truck. They left his ass. He reached down to get his hair brushed. And Trey Lott the Furious sitting down getting his hair cut. Yeah, do you remember these? Double burger with cheese. Double burger with cheese. Double burger with cheese, huh? Do you remember these? Double burger with cheese. Double burger with cheese. Double burger with cheese. Kane told him as he jacked him at the drive through. 100 bucks to tell who ride a mask. Put the knife to another 100 for the cop who chased the Jersey drive crew. The group who took Ricky Ball Crip.
my pine brew. Kick dope boy, told him he could buy 100 balls. Little Bobby used to spit the iron out his overalls. Who knew in the few, he would had a gun aiming. Kane ahead of niggas dating, skating on his Mustang. Remember when the whole crowd stopped and got tense? Then they cheered when Steel put his hand up on the fence. And when G-Money first got mad to the cocaine, and Chris Tucker OD there, watch a soul train. Cameron shot him in the context, gold chain. Nino was free till he met up with that old man. Ice T was there and he oversaw the whole thing. Mello lost his legs just to get up out the dope game. White throw his gun into the river though, just to hit the roof to get the juice and let Bishop go. Show Hodges love, but the Pac-Man day came, especially after sprayed the little essay with the spray paint. Remember when Bobby took off his tear, and when Doughboy disappeared after his brother died and he said nobody cared? I still do, after all these years, because he should've played ball. Ricky ain't deserve none of that at all. These are just an illustration of a few scenes to help raise a generation.
Yeah.
Do
you remember? Yeah.
You know what though?
What?
Ahem. His productions are so not par with his like rhymes. Like,
nah, he definitely needs like
help with that shit. He need to call Timbaland or somebody from Chi-Town.
He needs a soulful producer. He needs a producer.
He needs
what you call it, a Knife Wonder.
Yeah,
he needs like somebody. Knife Wonder, somebody like the Alchemist or somebody that can give him like.
He needs somebody.
Those tracks.
Yeah, like because that song doesn't highlight. It doesn't bring his shit to the forefront. Like.
Nah, the track doesn't.
Nah.
But it's interesting, like, I think, but lyrically, like, when you start hearing what he's talking about, like, he's talking about different movie scenes that we've all seen growing up in that era, like, mm-hmm. Menace to Society and, you know, what
Boys
happened
in
when
the Hood.
Came, Boys in the Hood, Juice.
Right. All those things that kind of, like, made you think about...
Life in the streets.
And, like, your whole neighborhood and, like... socio-economic situations and socio-political things. Like,
right.
Wow, how does your race and your class affect your opportunities, right?
Right,
like, and
exactly.
That's what it all comes down to.
Exactly. How do you escape some of those
situations? How do you escape where you're from?
Right.
You know, you're in a socio-economic position because of...
things out of your control for the most
part.
Yeah.
What your race is, how much money your parents made... and how do you get out of that to a better place, right? Like,
right.
Yeah.
I think Lupe does a good job of just, like, you know, explaining a lot of these things and just, like, showing you the, you know, these are what people saw growing up.
Right.
Like, hearing that song, I'm like, wow, I remember all of those scenes.
Right.
Like, it takes me back.
Remember Ricky got shot in the back?
Yeah, he said he should have played ball.
Yeah.
Said, you know, like, wow.
Right.
Like, he should have been playing ball.
Man, I was like, oh, man.
Right. That was his way out. He got clapped.
Ricky, he got the letter to say.
He got clapped. Oh, he talked about Juice when Omar Epps threw the gun into the river because he didn't want to have the gun just so he can go on the rooftop and throw Bishop off the roof anyway.
Right.
Like, if he would have just had the gun, it would, you know, maybe wouldn't have went down like that. But, you know, he talks about...
at the same time.
Right.
Bishop
was crazy.
Yeah.
That shit cracked.
But I just think... I appreciate this mixtape because I feel like Lupe is actually, like... going back to like his original more like thought provoking content, and I think he can do that on mixtapes. He can't do that on albums, and I hope he drops more albums. More mixtapes. I gave up on you, Lupe, but after hearing this mixtape, I'm a fan once again.
I mean, you know what? The mixtape to me wasn't sonically what I want. Like,
nah, it's yeah.
The beats are not good.
No,
the rhymes are good. Like he has. Something to say, but it's not being delivered the right way. I'm not happy with how it's being delivered, but I'm happy with the fact that I know that his mind is running.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, but he needs like an A&R / new manager.
He needs
Chili was his manager though, right? Like,
yeah, I think so.
He needs a new street dude, man, to like get him a really dope underground new sounding producer, because you know there's tons of people out there making beats, obviously. Yeah, he needs a better packaging for his message, basically, because you know what it is, like the deeper you are, the better you gotta package what you say.
Yeah,
because it's it can be overwhelming.
Jay was good about that.
Yeah, but Jay also dumbed down his shit too.
He did.
And he dumbed it down a lot.
He dumbed it down a lot, but I felt like Jay was good at taking topics and making them like open to the world because the production was so good and it worked so well together.
Right.
That you heard what he was saying.
But you also heard what Jay is saying because he dumbs it down in a way where it's interspersed in between ignorance.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like he took like a handful of ignorance and a handful of like knowledge / consciousness, and he puts them in a bag and he shakes it up. So, you know, where like maybe Nas would take a hand of knowledge,
and a pinch of ignorance,
You see what I'm saying? Like Jay is more heavy-handed with the ignorance, so it's easier for people to get with it.
No, that's true.
Than other rappers.
It's true.
Some other people, you know.
Oh, so in other news of like you mentioned, you know, him needing new management and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There were rumors that Drake dropped like his whole management team, like not everybody, but like some very key people in his management team.
Wait, play that track.
Which track?
Go back to the soundtracks. Play that first track.
Oh.
Love that shit.
I don't know, it's not working.
Yes it is. Hit play.
I did that.
It takes a minute, perhaps.
So, you just interrupted the whole podcast.
I know.
To hear this track that's not working right now.
It's worth it, though. I love it. Okay. Well, hey.
Drake.
So, yeah. So, he fired everybody?
He fired mad people.
How do we know this?
It was on, I think it was on, what newspaper source was that? It was on, like, the New York Post or something like that.
Oh, or New York Post?
Something like that. They lie a lot, but.
The New York Post is definitely, like, the Inquirer of New York. Right,
because oh, fires. Have... Yeah, okay. So the Vancouver Sun.
Oh, the Vancouver Sun.
Let's hear this one. No, this is a different news source. But
okay,
I got it from a New York paper. But okay. So it says in the Vancouver Sun, this is their headline: Drake fires American managers.
Damn.
So I mean, pretty much the gist of it is that Drake fired a lot of the people that later on put him on. Like you know, when he became big in America, he hired a lot of new people to manage himself. And he got rid of a lot of his original Canadian management. He fired pretty much all of the American management and was going back to his original Canadian management, saying that there were too many people in his pockets.
Canadian motherfuckers be on a point, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
look Nardwar. At
Jim Carrey.
Shawn Michaels. The rapper. The wrestler.
A meta loss.
Where else can we go?
That was the shortest list in the history of lists.
Trey Park, the guys that make South Park. Yeah. All the hot video girls.
Damn, there's a lot of notable Canadians. I'm just at a loss right now.
Notable Canadians.
He's going to type that in Google. Hit refresh on that soundtrack page, man.
It's not working.
Stop lying.
Your site is bonkers right now.
It's SoundCloud, dude.
List of Canadians that are notable. Let's see what we've got. I don't know who any of these people are. I don't know any of these. I love you, Canada. Happy belated Thanksgiving too. But anyways,
refresh, man.
I did refresh it. It's not working. Your site is acting crazy.
It's SoundCloud, dude.
Or SoundCloud is acting crazy. Anyway,
that's how it is, dude.
Yeah, man.
The internets.
So, one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nicki Minaj, your girl.
Not my girl.
Nicki Minaj, she's getting an actual Barbie. They are creating one Nicki Minaj Barbie doll, which will be auctioned off for charity. What do you think about that? Should Nicki Minaj be depicted as a toy? A toy that, I mean, for men, she's obviously already depicted that way. But
that's what I'm saying.
For little girls to kind of say, like, you know, to emulate?
She is a kind of hypersexualized person, huh?
Her last name is Minaj.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of kids know what that means, though.
But I mean,
they do.
They may not know, but it's like they're saying it. My favorite rapper is Nicki Minaj. There goes a picture of Nicki Minaj Barbie doll if you're interested in seeing it.
That's way too skinny.
For Nicki?
Yeah, she is definitely chunkier.
Yeah, she's thicker than that. But anyway, so I mean, I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like girls play with Barbie dolls. Even if there's only one that's getting auctioned off, it's kind of like...
Well, you know what? On one hand, I'm like, you know what? It's good that there's diversity in Barbie. On the other hand, hit play.
Dude, it doesn't work.
I will not accept that.
I'm gonna go to SoundCloud.
What?
There we go.
Wait.
Finally.
We're gonna take a little break. And we will be right back.
So
we're back.
We are back.
What was the name of that track, though?
The name of that track, once again, is You Change Me When You Smile.
You Change Me When
It
You
is
Smile.
An amazing song.
The power of positivity.
The power of democratized media.
You were so into democratized media shit.
I'm all over that right now.
I mean, hey.
I am all over it.
Get in, get with it. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm all over this democracy.
More so?
Media. We'll talk about that off air. Sorry, we had a conversation.
We had a conversation.
Yeah, we'll talk about that off
air. Yeah, for sure.
I'm all about democratized media, though. That's my new thing.
But yeah, You Change Me When You Smile.
Yes.
So that brings me to the next topic, I guess.
Yes.
On the quick, but important.
Good energy.
Good energy. Life force energy. I want to talk about life force energy because I feel like it's something that we don't think enough about, you know.
What is life force energy?
Life force energy is like it's exactly that. Like you have to just think about it. I'm so like not
life force energy.
I'm so
is
uneloquent
life force
right
energy.
Now. It's, you know what it is? It's the force, it's the battery in your back. It's what okay, think about it like this. What are the things that propel you to do to accomplish your goals? And what are the things that cause you to feel drained that prevent you from accomplishing things that you need to do in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for example, if you think about life force energy, you think about conversations like this, we sit and we talk and we have a good time, that creates life force energy for me. When I'm around somebody who's,
thanks.
Yeah, when I'm around people who are energetic and creative and I can vibe with, who makes me think, that for me, that creates life force energy. Because like when I leave that conversation, I have things to think about. And right. For me, that provides energy for me. Like I'm a thinker, so
I can agree with that.
Yeah,
I like to be around
that creates
other people.
Life force energy for me.
I like to be around circles of people that are all thinking about yes. things, making me stimulating my mind.
Yeah, stimulation creates life force energy. Or on the converse, if you're around negative people, or if you're around like somebody who's upset, it kind of can diminish your life force energy. You know, mm-hmm. like. It makes you feel run down, or it drains you a little bit, you right. know? Or, you know, sometimes you encounter, like, somebody that's upset, and they, you know, will come at you like,
right.
And it's like, oh, God.
They're putting that negative energy on you.
And it can diminish your life force energy. And I think it's important to recognize that, because you don't want to let it suck you dry, you know?
Right.
And if you are cognizant of that, you can say, okay, this person is upset, or I'll give you a personal example. I came out of my house yesterday, and my window was smashed.
Really?
The little back window in my car was smashed.
Damn.
And I was like, shit. You know? Like, that could have ruined my day, right? But I was like, what? Am I going to let that get in the way of my happiness, or am I going to let that interrupt my... I was happy until that point. It's just a window.
You didn't seem that pissed when I saw you.
Right.
The average person would have been pissed. Like,
I didn't even mention it.
Nah, you didn't.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's a window. And I was like, you know what? The old me would have said, you know what? I've been like, oh shit, I had to pay like damn near $300 to get it fixed.
Shit.
Yeah. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what? How is that going to help propel me to accomplish my goals? Being upset about
being pissed,
that.
Right?
Obviously, somebody was so desperate that they had to break my window. They didn't even have time to go in my car. Obviously, I'm not going to let that fuck up my day.
Right.
What do I have to... How is that going to help me accomplish my goals if I let that diminish my life force energy? Like, it's not going to get me anywhere.
No, it's not.
Yeah, so... Sometimes you gotta just be able to be put things in perspective and say, you know what, I'm not gonna let that upset me. You know, and just kind of focus on the things that are gonna like give me energy. So you know, I went out, I met up with you, and I had great company, right. And we had a good time, and that gave me energy. I was like, you know what, I'm better focused on that.
So that's a good strategy. Like,
yeah.
If you're in a situation where people are or things are sucking you dry, then go out and seek positive energy somewhere.
Exactly. And just be aware of it. Like, you know, is this something that's going to like help me accomplish my goals, provide me with positive energy? Or is it going to be something that's going to diminish it? You know, negative feelings, jealousy, anger, being upset. Those are all things that diminish your life force energy.
Right.
Going to the gym for me, you know, gives me energy because I feel accomplished. When I leave, I feel like a badass. I'm like, fuck, I did that shit.
Right.
You know, I lifted however many 100 pounds. Like, you know, I feel the tightness of my abs. I feel the tightness of my pecs and my biceps.
Yeah, you feel accomplished.
Yeah, I feel good. Yeah. So it's like that gives me life force
energy. Or even like helping other people.
Right.
You know, like you go out and maybe you do some volunteer work or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, after that, you're like, wow, like I helped that person. I feel good about
it. And you got something in return.
Right.
It replenished your life force energy.
Exactly. Yeah, that's important. I think a lot of people, I don't want to generalize, but there are people out there that, you know, they're negative, but they aren't necessarily trying to find a solution to that negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, they'd rather just like make other people feel negative also.
Right.
You know, like black
holes.
Yeah, people
exactly.
Like black holes just
misery loves company.
Yeah, they just suck the energy out of others. And it's like...
You can't let that shit phase you.
Nah, you gotta keep it moving.
You can't.
Like,
you have to just recognize it for what it is. You have to say, you know what? I recognize you're in a bad place, but I'm not gonna let you diminish my life force energy as well.
Right.
You know?
Nah, that's true.
At all. You can't let them get to you. Shake that shit off. And also, even with that, it's kind of, you know, sometimes like when we start talking, I'm like, how far should I go with this? But I think it's also like lately I've been thinking about like heart and mind as the same one and the same. So like I think we like to think of our mind and our hearts as two independent things, but I think heart and mind are one and the same. I think if you start to think of your heart and your mind as one and the same, you'll have more harmony and joy in life.
I mean, because technically people say your heart, but it's not the physical organ. It's a feeling that erupts from your brain. It's right. Like it's an emotion that comes from
right.
neurons hitting neurons. So, right. I mean, they are one and the same, yeah. you know, scientifically.
Yeah, your heart and your mind go together like peanut butter and jelly.
But then you're talking about more like being rational and irrational. The heart tends to make more emotional decisions, less irrational decisions, where the mind is ideally driven by rational decision making. It's almost like a balance.
Well, not even that. I think if you start to look at your heart and your mind as one and the same, or look at your mind as a heart, then you start to think like, okay, for example, if you piss me off, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking of my mind as a heart, I'm thinking, okay, you pissed me off, but either I could hold a grudge against you, but if I loved you mentally, I could say, you know what? I'm going to let that slide because you needed to do what at that point in time you needed. You just needed to, you know, it's not about me right now.
You're saying if you think of your heart as a mind, your heart becomes easier to navigate.
Right.
Because you can navigate. Or
if you think of your mind as a heart too, they're one and the same really.
Right. But I think about like mentally I can navigate myself through situations if I'm thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when you get into emotional scenarios, it's just all emotion and you're just like, kind of like spewing out. But if you were to kind of think about, if you were going through an emotional situation, let's say like somebody pissed you off and you took the time to really think about it and navigate it the way you would navigate your mind through like a problem, mm-hmm. you know? Then maybe it makes things easier. So like they are kind of one and the same in that like I don't want to get too deep into it, but like if you can spend the time to really think out things of the heart the way you do other mental exercises, other mental things, then it kind of makes dealing with your heart easier.
That's not even what I'm saying.
What are you
but
saying?
But that's a part of it. I'm saying that if you think of a situation where, okay, this begs an analogy, right? It's like, put this shit in perspective.
Give me a parable.
Give me something tangible to relate this to.
Yes.
Let's say mm-hmm. you and I, mm-hmm. Heart and mind as one, right? If okay, put it this way. If you are led by your heart, right? Your heart is telling you, I love this person, I don't love this person, right?
Right.
Your mind is telling you rational thoughts, right?
I'm with Khalifa. My heart tells me I love Amber Rose, but my mind says Kanye's been hitting that already.
Right. But your mind is also, okay, no, that's great. But you have to realize that your mind is the part that you can control, right?
Right.
Your mind is your awareness.
Mm.
So if you focus your awareness in a loving way,
right,
you can it is your heart, right?
I'm not even thinking about Kanye.
No, I'm thinking about my love for this person,
right,
and what they need,
right?
You know, like I can shift my thoughts to something giving and loving,
right?
And it's really a heart in and of itself, right? If your focus is giving. Right? If you focus your mind in giving, your mind is a heart.
I'm going to give this Louis bag because I love Amber Rose. Fuck Kanye West.
I probably confuse a whole lot of people out there. But shit is true.
Word.
Because your mind is definitely the most noble thing you have, right?
Hmm.
With your mind, you can be above whatever you set your mind to. If you're in a situation and somebody, you know, is less than graceful or somebody, you know, they're like trying to do you dirty, you can love them with your mind by being bigger than that, you know? And in a way, your mind is a heart, right?
Yeah.
It's one and the same. I mean, in Eastern cultures, the word for mind and heart is one and the same.
It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
My mind was just blown.
Right. It's all about what you...
As was my heart.
It's all about what you choose to focus on, right? Because, like, your heart tells you a lot of things, but what out of that whole, like, shotgun of emotions and feelings are you going to focus on, right? Because my heart could tell me, you know, space, you're the coolest dude, but you're an asshole at the same time, right?
It's true.
My mind is going to be picking through all of that and deciding what I'm going to focus on at the moment. So I can just take my heart's mind or my mind's heart and say, I'm going to focus on the good in him and cultivate that instead of taking the...
Directing the energy.
Yes.
I can dig it.
Mm-hmm.
Message.
But anyway... Just, yeah. It takes thought to kind of get on that. And sometimes you'll be in a situation and you're like, oh, shit. It's illuminating. It can be.
Give me the light.
But anyway.
Yeah, man. Any shout-outs?
Shout-outs. I'd like to give a shout-out to my cousin Martin. Who I caught with the biggest D's nuts joke in my life. Because I was driving and I went to his house and true story. And I called him and I was like, yeah. He was like, where are you? I was like, I'm on the corner of D and D's Nuts. And he was like, you where? D's what? D's Nuts. He's like, D's Nuts? You at D's Nuts? It was hilarious. I never caught anybody with D's Nuts that way in life. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I think I caught one of my college roommates with like the super D's Nuts one day. I think we still talk about it to this day. It was just like... Where you at? I'm up with D. D who? D's Nuts. Like, it was just like super D's Nuts where you just got to freeze and just take the L. Like,
right. Yeah, you got and me. That's exactly what happened. I was like, D's Nuts.
You got me.
But like that Boondock skit on YouTube where they mash up all of the D's Nuts jokes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That shit is priceless. I just want to give a shout out to everybody on BrooklynKing.com.
Word.
And there's been a few more upgrades and
more to come.
Yeah, for real. I mean, I need to post, like, I have, like, so many reviews. I got an iPhone 4S. And I've been messing with that Siri and all that
you
stuff.
You got a Siri here?
Yeah.
Right now?
Yeah.
Yo, we could have had a whole segment of this show we about could've. Me asking Siri dumbass questions and Siri answers.
Yes. Sorry, but I can't say that.
Next week. Next week we're going to do a Siri segment.
Yeah, because I'm going to post a review of the 4S as a person who had a 3G.
Yo, yeah.
On Brooklyn King.
We can plug Siri in. I can ask it questions and everybody can hear the answers that it gives me, right?
Yeah.
Let's do that. Yeah, I'm going to ask some off-the-wall shit.
Okay, let's do that. So I'm going to post a review of that. My phone bricked a week ago. It was a situation.
Damn.
But we'll get into all that stuff, and I have a bunch of stuff to post, so I'm looking forward to reading what everybody else posts too, and, you know, just, have fun and love each other and all that good stuff, and
shouts out to everybody on Twitter. Follow me at Spacebars with a Z, SpaceBarz.
I'm at BrooklynKing1
on Twitter.
Yeah.
Do that.
I haven't posted a Twitter in like a year since I was at E3, I think.
Nah, I'm gonna start doing a lot more of that. And shouts out to just everybody on Brooklyn King. And yeah, man. On the way out, I do want to play this one last Lupe track that I think is pretty fly and pretty jazzy. Life, Death, and Love from San Francisco. It's pretty cool. So, anything else?
Nah, man. Run it.
All right. Oops.
Keep bouncing. Oh man, that's John Coltrane.
That it is.
A Love Supreme. I know it well.
And it won't load.
Damn. Ah. Play that when you're with your lady.
said love was a hard thing, somewhere between golfing and gardening, a parole board partying. But she was still down for a hard swing. Flowers she would pick like guitar strings for a real good whiff of how life behind par seems. Until then, she a bartender, pour hot lead shots out of carbines. If an inmate ever even think about departing before it's time for a theft of a hard thing. Wanna see what a bum rhyme bar dreams before he get gunned down, cause I'm shop scene. Saw it all on the way to the art scene. Around the time they kicked us out, they had a park clean. She ain't living in the car, she just RVing. Life on ice like the San Jose Shark team. Hard times trying to duck him like Darkwing. Known for burning clothes and petty car keen. Another less harmful skylocking. Bought a bag, got American rag. A small Chinese made American flag. Took a dollar bill and split it in half. The picture that she bought wouldn't fit in the cab. On a train trying to best not to live in the past. Bumped Molly ass, could he spit in her ass? And that was it. Fits, tantrums, random, helter skelter, a world gone Manson. And I'll spare you the details. Dinner is ceviche out of seashells. Annoyed because her date really can't speak well. But she forced to press on like lead nails. Next table was abhorred by the weed smell. But she was done at the moment that the tea fell. A thick wool jacket on a cool night. Unimpressed by poems or the moonlight. Doesn't satisfy like a game of pool might. I'm thinking what if Fantasia had a broom strike. Tune right out of that school life soon as reality became a camera crew and a boom mic. So what do you do like? She said absurd last words from a dude off a Zoop site. And then left him, like the Roots left Geffen. In the state, Holland Wolf left Chesson. Stopped to watch flows, have an unpaid session on the steps of a West End. She really need to check in, and to apologize to her best friend. New bras to put her chest in. Love, life, and death in.